Thank you, O God, for your holy word written by your Holy Spirit. And we pray this morning that by that same Holy Spirit, you will open it to our minds and hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be back in North Ferriby again, and I want to bring to you a text which is in Romans that has been read, chapter 13 and verse 14. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are very dramatic and very important words. And what is the context? Well, you see already that St. Paul is speaking about the contemporary situation in the world. There is darkness, the night is nearly over, that is the spiritual darkness, the day of the Lord is near. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The deeds of darkness, of course, reference to all the things that people haven't got the courage to do in the day, but they'll do at night. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful text. And we see it here, how relevant it is in the first century in Rome. And surely it is so relevant in the 21st century as we see our papers and we see the television. It's just so frequently the behavior and attitudes of the world. But it is also an important text in the life of perhaps the greatest Christian since the Apostle Paul, and in fact the greatest Christian thinker in 2,000 years. And of course I'm referring to Augustine from North Africa. And he gives his testimony, and I want to read a paragraph because he puts it very clearly, how he came out of darkness into light. In the summer of AD 386, Augustine, the native of Tagaste in North Africa, professor of rhetoric at Milan, sat weeping in the garden of his friend Alpius, almost persuaded to begin a new life, yet lacking the final resolution to break from the old. As he sat, he heard a child singing in the neighboring house, "Tolle lege, tolle lege," which means take up and read, take up and read. Picking up a scroll which lay at his friend's side, he let his eyes rest on the words, "Not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Then he says, "No further would I read," he tells us, "nor had I any need." Instantly, at the end of this sentence, a clear light flooded my heart and all the darkness of doubt vanished away. That was the conversion of, as said, the greatest theologian and teacher and bishop in the early church, and indeed since. put you on the Lord Jesus, as he indeed did in that garden in Milan. But what do we mean by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I think some people think of it as remembering Jesus as a great teacher. You know, he gave us the Sermon on the Mount, he's given us the parables and so on. But the world has had plenty of teachers. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Moses, Solomon, prophets, Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi. All of them have had tremendous high standing teaching. But no, put you on the Lord Jesus is not to remember him as a teacher, although we do acknowledge his greatness in his words. And neither do we put on the Lord Jesus to remember him as a great religious example. The Christian church in 2,000 years have had so many great examples of the Christian faith, the martyrs who gave their life for Jesus Christ, the missionaries. They have been heroes and heroines in the early church. And think of St. Francis, who was such a wonderful example. The people thought of him as a second Christ. But you know, putting on the Lord Jesus to remember his teaching or to remember his example isn't what St. Paul means. For one thing, these teachers make demands, and these godly people give lives that are challenging, and therefore they can fill us with guilt and failure. Their standards too are so high we cannot attain them. Their life was so dedicated, we feel a failure. No, it doesn't gladly mean that, although we don't forget the examples and the teaching. But no, he says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a person of the past. You see, all the people that I've mentioned just now are people who have lived and they have gone. Some, like Moses, 3,400 years ago. Socrates, they're all gone. They're all yesterday's men. But no, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he came from heaven and lived amongst us, bearing in his own body our sins. The judgment of sin was upon him, and by his atonement, he has reconciled us to God and is alive, alive now by the power of an indestructible life, by the resurrection through the Spirit of holiness. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God. No, no, no. We don't look back to somebody in the past as an example or as a teacher. Primarily, we look up now to a living Lord Jesus Christ. He came to be God's victor, the anointed one, to defeat the powers of sin and of death, as well as the devil, the world, and the flesh. And he did accomplish them when he cried, "It is finished." That isn't, "I've had it, I've done it." And that was the cry of Jesus Christ in victory. He disarmed the principalities, authorities, and powers. He overcame the world, which isn't the globe that goes round, but is society that is organized against and without God. He overcame the devil, he overcame the world, and he overcame the flesh. And the flesh doesn't refer to this. It refers to the mind, the fallen mind and heart and will of people who are saying no to God, and indeed of ourselves who have already said yes to Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ in the present, the glorious Lord who was here, who did die, but is now risen and is seated at the right hand of God. You know, that is the truth of the Christian gospel. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are told, aren't we, if we have been united with his death, we'll certainly be united in his resurrection. My friends, this is the wonderful truth. Jesus is alive, and we are to put him on as we put on our clothes. No wonder St. Paul can say, for me, to live is Christ. Yes, Christ. I can't do anything of myself. As Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And so St. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Then in Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Do you know, that's a wonderful text, isn't it? You know, I think we could say it together. Come on. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or Colossians, your life is now hid with Christ in God. That is where our life is. Here you may be sitting in North Ferriby, physically, but spiritually our life is hid with Christ in God. There's your little life, and you are in Christ, and Christ is in God. Look at the blessings you have. Look at the power you have. Look at the strength you have. All things are yours, St. Paul says to the Corinthians, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. And what did Jesus say? You are in my hands, and my hands are in my Father. And so there is our strength. And then Galatians 2:20. We'll say this together. You know it, don't you? I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Go on. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now remember that tomorrow morning. Remember it this evening. Remember it every day. We are in Christ, and Christ is in God. Let me tell you something you may not know concerning the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When they talk about disciples, they talk about disciples walking, talking, or eating with Jesus. With Jesus. That is the atmosphere and of the synoptic gospels. But then, recording that was before the resurrection, written after and recording life after the resurrection, we don't have that with Christ. What do we have? We have the phrase, you are in Christ. And let me tell you, somebody has worked it out. It comes 164 times in St. Paul's letters. You are either in Christ or in him or for similar expressions. You see, the resurrection has made all the difference. And if we concentrate on the synoptics, we're always with Jesus. But if you look at the epistles, we are in Jesus. And that makes the difference. 164 times, in him, in Christ, in the Lord. So no wonder St. Paul, writing to these Romans with all their challenges, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision. Put him on by your faith, by your reading of Scripture. And the whole purpose of Scripture is to lead us to Jesus Christ. And that's why the New Testament is so important, because it leads us to Jesus in Christ, putting on the Lord Jesus. Some years ago, I heard a person speak about the life of religious communities. And he saw the life of religious communities in four steps and downward. And they all began with the letter M. And think perhaps why I remembered it. The first is the religious communities begin with a man. Man is at the center, and it's Jesus Christ at the center. In all his love, in all his truth, in all his deity, in all his victory, he is at the center. We are in him, rejoicing and being made new. But the second stage is after the man. Sometimes, for instance, you get Francis. It was after Francis you have the Franciscan codes, or Luther has gone and you have Lutheranism. So what happens? After a man, you get a movement. And the movement is when people settle down to concentrate not on all the blessings of the man, but on the teachings of the person. Life in Christ becomes the letter of a code. That's more important, keeping to the code that they think that the man established. A man becomes a movement, and it can become cold. It can become legalistic. It can become rigid. But then after that, movement becomes a machine. The response of the people is lifeless. It's a dogged duty. It's a routine. It's a tradition. We've just got to keep it going and going. But it's no more active and spontaneous than a machine. And then the fourth stage is this, a monument erected to commemorate something that has been and is no longer here. What a sad story. A man to a movement, to a machine, and a monument. Well, what's the corrective to that progress? Well, surely it is this, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read God's word, it directs us only to Christ. as we pray in his name. And as we sing, we rejoice in him. As we take the sacraments, they point to the man. That's the answer. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ by word, by spirit, and by sacrament. He that glories, glory in the Lord. I decided to know nothing among you than Jesus Christ and him having been crucified. That's the answer. My friends, this is the treasure. We must keep to stage one, holding on to the man and not become a movement, God forbid, a machine or a monument. Devotion to our Lord. And isn't this putting on the Lord Jesus? Just what was read in the gospel. Abiding in the vine, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. With Christ, as St. Paul said, all things are possible. Let's pray. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. This morning we don't just look back, but we look up, and we thank you that our Lord is risen. He died to atone for our sins, but he is risen to indwell our hearts. Grant our Heavenly Father that as St. Paul wrote to the Romans, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, so we too, in our daily living, may put him on and show the life of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask it in his name. Amen.